Ephesians chapter 6, beginning in verse 18. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints and for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. Paul the Apostle was aware of something that I'm keenly aware of as well tonight, and that is without the power of God, we cannot speak boldly the gospel of God. And it's not just me as the pastor, but it's all of us speaking the truth of the gospel. And so we must have God's power and God's blessing, and it comes through prayer. And so let's learn about that tonight, shall we? Let's pray together. Father, we've all had a very busy day, but now we come to this quiet moment, this moment of focusing on the Word of God. And I pray that in this time that you would teach us and that we would consider where we are in our own prayer lives and be willing to take another step tonight. And Father, we pray and ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Dr. John R. Rice often said, all of our failures are prayer failures. All of our failures are prayer failures. Let's say that together. All of our failures. Oftentimes, I'll give counseling about weighty matters, and I'll do my best to give Bible principles. But oftentimes, there has not been prayer leading into the decision. And without prayer, we do not have the mind of God. We do not have the leading of God. I think of building the North Building and how we had a company that came to sell us pews for the church. And they had a little sample pew that was about maybe 3 feet wide, just a singular pew. And I remember taking that pew out and putting it in the old auditorium before we had a roof, before we had lights, before we had anything. We put that pew there, and we put a little clipboard on the pew, and we were trying to build the North Auditorium, and for us at that time, we were a church of several hundred, but it was a $2 or $3 million project, and we were well aware that that would never happen without God providing. And I remember as a pastor going every morning to that pew, and many of you went there as well, and we prayed that God would help us build that building. We had some challenges and some tests, but God's people were faithful in prayer. And sometimes the prayers began at 2 and 3 in the morning. And oftentimes when I would arrive, maybe even at 6 or so, 30 or 40 members had already stopped at that prayer pew. And they had signed in their prayer time and spent time in prayer. That pew traveled around the campus. And recently with the Walther Center, we established another prayer pew, a place to stop and ask God for those things that only He could do. You see, in the time of battle, there are always going to be those moments, kind of a lull in the action, when wise men will pray. And I think of so many things, and we've been praying for the victims and their families, in particular in Las Vegas. And we have so much to pray about in these days. And God says, when you have a moment that's a lull, take time to pray. And make sure that you schedule those moments for prayer as well. William Cowper was a weak and frail man. He was a man who lived in England. He was abused as a child, raised in foster-type environments. Finally, he came to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, and he became a great poet and hymn writer. I remember visiting his home in Olney, England. He was the man who wrote the song, "There is a Fountain Filled with Blood," a song that was really loved by Dr. Curtis Hudson. And I remember just the joy of standing there and seeing where he wrote the songs. And then I looked on the wall of his home and I saw a saying that he also wrote and originated this saying, "Satan trembles when he sees the weakest Christian on his knees." Satan trembles when he sees the weakest Christian on his knees. Sometimes Satan accuses us to believe that our prayers don't really matter. John R. Rice's prayers, now they'll get somewhere. And Dr. Sisk, his prayers will really get somewhere. But I just don't know that I have that same access. By the way, how many of you are thankful that because of the blood, we all have equal access to the throne of grace? And we're all invited to come boldly to the throne of grace. And so tonight, I want to just pause in this quiet moment and just visit and revisit some instructions concerning prayer, how we can be together in prayer this week. The first thing I want you to notice is the practice of prayer. The Bible says in verse number 18 of our text, praying always with all prayer. If you're taking notes, I want you to jot down, first of all, that we must pray earnestly, praying always with all prayer. You know the passage, 1 Thessalonians 5:17, pray without ceasing. Now, if you're like me, perhaps your day today was pretty much without pause. How many of you are thankful that you can begin the day in prayer? Amen? You know one of the reasons why I always begin the day in prayer? Because when it gets busy, I don't want to wish that I had started the day in prayer. I want to make sure I do that. But then even in between appointments and even in the commute and getting into an elevator and going to a doctor's appointment, in all of these moments, you can pray without ceasing. Lehman Strauss once said, "The enemy watches for prayerlessness in our lives and then takes advantage of us. We must constantly be in prayer because we are constantly in danger." We must constantly be in prayer because we are constantly in danger. Now, sometimes we pray when danger comes or when crisis comes, we pray more fervently. But the fact is that we're always in danger. How many of you know that Satan always has a target on your back and mine? It's not like he's letting up. So we must learn to pray always, and we must pray earnestly. But then secondly, we must pray effectively. The Bible says in verse 18, praying always with all prayer and supplication. Now, notice the phrase here, with all. It implies praying on all occasions, under every condition, and praying all kinds of prayers. Praying with all prayers. The Bible speaks of this in 1 Timothy 2:1. I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men. Now, just look at those four attributes of prayer. Supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks. Supplications, meaning requests. Prayers can mean request. It can mean adoration of our Lord. It can include confession, worship. Intercessory prayer. That's where we pray for one another. That's where you pray for those that are grieving, for those that need the gospel, for the pastor as he preaches this Sunday. And then, of course, the Bible says the giving of thanks. We're to make our requests known unto God with thanksgiving. And so when the Bible says with all prayer, what God is telling us is there are many facets to prayer. There are many kinds of prayer. And sometimes we have used in the past the acrostic of the word ACTS, A-C-T-S, adoration, confession, thanksgiving, supplication. What are these? These are kinds of prayers. And the Apostle Paul says, when you pray, remember to pray with all prayer. And remember to confess, and remember to adore, and remember to give thanks, and remember to ask, and remember to ask on behalf of others. This is all prayer. Sometimes, because we're so busy, we kneel down and we can think, you know, what is there to pray about? There's a lot to pray about. There's a lot of kinds of prayers that God wants us to pray. And the Bible says that we're to bring all of these prayers before Him. Let's just notice those words very quickly. Notice the first word here in this passage of 1 Timothy, the word prayer. The Bible says that we're to come with all prayer. And Dr. Rice said, prayer is simply asking. Matthew 7:7, ask and it shall be given you, seek and ye shall find, knock and it shall be opened unto you. God says if you need grace, ask for it. You need a job, ask for it. Your burden for your husband or your child, ask on their behalf. I believe that God calls us to specific prayer. And we need to learn how to specifically pray. And then secondly, make supplication. This means, again, an entreaty to God. It means petitioning God for our needs as well as for the needs of others. So we have prayer and supplication. And then I want you to see also the word here that is found in verse number 18. Prayer with supplication. And then it says, in the Spirit. In the Spirit. Spurgeon said this, prayer is an art which only the Spirit can teach us. He is the giver of all prayer. Prayer is an art that only the Spirit can teach us. Now, I don't feel that we should judge someone's prayers, and so I want to tiptoe on this subject. But there are times in our lives when our prayer can become mechanical. There are times when we can say words just because we've always said them. There are times when we say phrases because someone else said it. And they're good phrases, and if we mean those phrases, they're worthy phrases. I believe, though, when we really understand praying in the Spirit, that God will lead us to pray for people that were not on our mind initially, for needs, that God will give us discernment. And sometimes, even when we don't even have the words to say, He helps us with the groanings that we cannot even utter. The Spirit of God will bring forth in this prayer time the utterances and the burdens of the heart that are necessary. That's what Romans speaks about in Romans 8:26. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not how we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And He searcheth the hearts, He that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because He maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. We want our prayers to be according to the will of God, led by the Spirit of God, and we want them to be active and lively and meaningful in the process. Praying in the Spirit is not talking about unintelligible utterances. It's not even talking about foreign languages. It's talking about prayer with power, prayer with meaning, prayer with direction, and prayer that is touching the heart of God. And I do not believe that just rote recitation or some type of a memorized prayer is something that will touch the heart of God if it's simply in the mechanical state. God wants you to be led of the Spirit in every aspect of your life. He gives us five commands concerning the Holy Spirit. He says, I want you to be filled with the Spirit. I want you to walk in the Spirit. I want you to pray in the Spirit, Jude said. I don't want you to quench the Spirit. He says, I don't want you to grieve the Spirit. God says, I want everything that you do in your life to be in and by and for and of the impulse and working of the Holy Spirit. And that includes the way you pray. And I would encourage you when we go to prayer in just a moment that you would simply say, Spirit of the living God, would you lead me in this time of prayer? Would you help me to pray for that which really will bring honor and glory to the Lord Jesus Christ? And so the practice of prayer, and when we think about this practice, we're talking about earnestly and effectively praying with all prayer in the Spirit, with all prayer supplication, with all prayer adoration, with all prayer confession, with all prayer in the Spirit. And sometimes, if we're not careful, our prayer is meaningless because it is not with all prayer and it is not guided by the Spirit. So let's remember those two principles tonight. Let's pray those principles tonight. Let's pray with supplication. Let's pray with adoration. Let's pray with confession. Let's pray with the matter of intercession. And let's pray as we're led of the Spirit. Did you know it's okay sometime in prayer? Sometimes we get embarrassed if we maybe forget what to say or forget someone's name. How many of you have ever been praying for somebody mentioned at church and you say, and Lord, and we pray for, and then you forget the name? Anybody else? Did you know it's okay to talk to the Lord and just say, Lord, I forgot the name, but you know the name? And did you know it's okay that sometimes when you're praying, if you just pause and quietly you're asking the Lord to lead you for the next time in prayer and the next words that you say, and that you would not pray according to your flesh, but according to His Spirit. That you would not pray for the person who's listening to you, but to the God who's listening to you. So with all prayer and in the Spirit. Let's say that together. With all prayer and in the Spirit. One more time. With and in the Spirit. That's the practice. Secondly, I want you to notice the persistence of prayer. God wants us to come persistently before Him. Now verse 18 says it this way. And watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. With all perseverance and supplication. So God says, first of all, I want you to pray with expectancy. When you are coming before me in this persistent prayer, I want you to pray watching thereunto with all perseverance. The word watching means a state of vigilance. The word watching implies what I have seen on the border between North and South Korea, many, many different outposts. And some of you have been there. And when you're driving up to the demilitarized zone, you'll see along the Han River an amazing fence and system of fences, and then military outposts, and there's always a soldier in the top of the guard shack. And they're there with their binoculars, and they're watching, constantly watching, for the North Korean spies who will, with amphibious gear, come through the water, through the Han River, and cut the fence, and infiltrate the universities, and wreak havoc in the society. And they're constantly watching, and it's not a game with them, because in case you haven't heard lately, there's an enemy to the North that wants to bring nuclear destruction to them. How many of you, if you lived in South Korea tonight, would want somebody watching that border when you went to sleep? And you'd want them watching with vigilance. And God says, I want you to start treating your prayer like a spiritual life and death matter. I want you to watch and pray expectantly. 1 John 5:14, and this is the confidence that we have in Him. If we ask anything according to His will, He heareth us. And if we know that He hears us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of Him. God says, I want you to pray. I want you to come at praying expectantly. I want you to be watching in prayer. I want you to believe that I'm able as you pray. You know, every time we pray these next few days, we ought to pray, Lord, by faith, I'm asking you and believing that souls will be saved at the 5 o'clock service, that souls will be saved at the 8:30 service. And Lord, I'm praying right now for those that I've invited, that they would come, that your Spirit would prompt them out of bed, prompt them into the right seat, prompt them down the aisle to be saved. And I believe that you can and will do this, Lord, and I pray with expectancy, knowing that you are able. God is calling on His people to pray with faith and believing that He can and that He will. And then secondly, it involves praying with endurance. Did you notice this phrase? It says, watching thereunto, then it says this, with all perseverance, with all perseverance. Thank the Lord for my fifth grade teacher, Mrs. Cannon. Mrs. Cannon, I don't know how old she was when she was my teacher, but she was close to retirement. And she taught us that little poem, if at first you don't succeed, try, try again. And oh, how she wanted us to memorize and say the poem. And when we didn't get it just right, we put our hand out and she whipped our hand with a belt. There was no need for permission. There was no ACLU. There was no attorneys lined up for child abuse. You just said the thing right or you got in trouble with Mrs. Cannon. And I'll never forget her class. And she taught us, never, ever quit. If at first you don't succeed, try, try again. Sometimes I might say to you, or you might say to me or someone else, did you pray about it? Well, yes, I did. And what has been said is a Pollywanna cracker prayer, just in a quick moment, but it wasn't prayer with endurance. Here we see this commandment that we're to pray with all perseverance. I think probably the greatest time when God taught our church how to pray was when Jessica Downey was in the hospital. Brother John and Laura are here tonight on the third row, not on the second row. They have backslidden by 12 feet or 12 inches tonight. I notice these things, Brother John. And we've often talked about the trial when their daughter, who was a student at West Coast, was in such a tragic car accident. But we also have all noticed on many occasions the things that God did in that time that would have never been accomplished. And I will never forget praying in the hospital, beginning maybe at 6 o'clock at night until the sun rose. And I remember praying fervently through the night with Brother Downey and so many from our church. I really honestly believe that God raised Jessica up, not only because of the prayers of the church family, but because of the prayers of her father. I remember when the doctor came to me one time in the middle of the night, some very troubling news, and he was telling me, "Pastor, you need to talk to John about just the reality of this situation." He told me some things to say to Brother Downey. And I had never been in a situation like that. I was a young pastor. I'm still sort of just about a teenager pastor right now, but I was a really young pastor. I'd never been told by a doctor to say the words he told me to say to Brother Downey. They really didn't settle well with me. I didn't believe what the doctor said. I didn't want to say what the doctor said. It wasn't the way we'd been praying. And I remember going into Brother John, and before I could say what the doctor said, Brother John said, "Pastor, let's pray." And God began to do a work. God taught us how to pray. God's will is not always healing. God's will is not always providing a job. God says here we're to pray according to His will. But the problem is, many times, we don't pray in the first place. And we don't pray fervently in the first place. And here we say we're to pray with endurance. Luke 18:1, "And He spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray," say the next four words, "and not to faint." One more time, "and
not to faint."
What is the burden of your heart tonight? What is that great spiritual desire? I'm not talking about your new boat, right? I'm not talking about, you know, some gizmo that you'd like to have. I'm talking to you about, what is it that is of spiritual significance? What is it that could advance the kingdom of God? What is it that you pray for spiritually? And are you praying without ceasing? God says, "I want you to pray with endurance." And so there's the practice of prayer, all prayer in the Spirit. There's the persistence of prayer, and that is with an enduring spirit. And then I want you to notice finally tonight, the people of prayer. The people of prayer. Now, how many of you ever grew up in a situation or a religion where you actually went and confessed and shared burdens with a priest, hoping that he would get it farther up than you could get it? Anybody grow up like that? All right, numbers of you. That's how you grew up. I have seen in the Vatican, and I have seen in various basilicas of the Catholic Church in different countries, where people will go and they will place money into an offering deposit box, and then they will pray to the saint, and the idea being that that money and that prayer are attached. It's sort of a fallback to the day when people would buy what was known as an indulgence, and you could pay money and then go sin, and it was covered because you had paid the money. And the idea is, if you give this money, then the saints are going to carry that prayer. That saint, and there are saints for various different things, will carry up that prayer for you. Well, the Bible is very, very much opposed to that form of idolatry. In fact, no man should ever claim to be the mediator. Jesus alone is the mediator. And we as believer priests come to Him as the high priest in our prayer. So let's talk about that. The people of prayer. The Bible tells us as the people of prayer who we are to pray for. And I want you to see this in verse 18. "Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication." Notice this phrase now, "for all saints." All right? So the first group of people that we're challenged as prayer warriors to pray for are the saints. Okay? We're to pray for the saints. And someone says, "Well, now wait a minute, Pastor. You're telling us we don't pray to the saints, but we pray for the saints," all right? Now, in order to understand that, you've got to get in your mind what is a saint, right? So we're not saying that we pray for the idol on the wall, because that's not the saint, okay? That's what someone says is a saint, right? We're not praying for the idol on the wall. The word saint is speaking about fellow believers. Dr. J. Vernon McGee often said, there are two groups of people in this world. There are the saints and there are the ain'ts, all right? Now, that's not very good grammar, but it's pretty good theology, right? So we're to pray for all of the saints. That means that we're to pray for one another. The word saint means a set apart one. And someone is considered a saint of God not by their behavior, but by the blood of Jesus Christ that covers their sin. So the word saint is speaking about fellow believers. God says, I want you to understand who needs prayer. Who are the people that we're praying for? And he says, pray for all the saints. And I believe as we approach this Sunday, there are some things we could pray for. Let's pray for power to be found in the lives of the saints. D.L. Moody said, next to the wonder of seeing my Savior will be, I think, the wonder that I made so little use of the power of prayer. In other words, one of the great regrets would be that we did not pray as we could. Let's pray for power in soul winning. Let's pray for power in service. Let's pray for God's leading. Many of you are going to be the missionaries this week who find some family who came to hear A.C. Green talk about a world champion, and they're going to hear the gospel. And many of you will be the one in the power of the Spirit to say, can I take you up to the front? Would you like me to walk with you? Could I show you how to pray what Pastor was just speaking about? Pray for power. Let us pray for protection. Luke 21:36, watch ye therefore and pray always that ye may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man. I pray for our bus ministry every Saturday evening. I pray that God would protect the buses from any harm. I pray that God would protect our classes. Would you pray that way? Would you pray that there would be a calm spirit in the children's services and that there would be protection all around the campus and that God would bring that protection? Pray for the saints. And then secondly, I encourage you tonight, pray for the sinners. Pray for the sinners. Now look what it says in verse 19. He says, and for me, right? And for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. Now, we're not referring to Paul as the sinner, but we're referring to him as the preacher to the sinners. And he's saying, pray for me that as I preach, that I may open my mouth boldly. And the purpose of that was that others might hear and be saved. J. Sidlow Baxter said, men may spurn our appeals, reject our message, oppose our arguments, despise our persons, but they are helpless against our prayers. And I just can't really state loudly enough, because we have folks in our church who even physically are not able to do what they once did. It's not an excuse. It's not a cop-out. There are many folks on a Sunday morning who come to our church in a walker. Some here tonight, many who come in a wheelchair. But there's one thing all of us can do this weekend. We can enter into this household, this church house, prayed up and praying during the entire service, God touch hearts in this service. And so the people of prayer, it's saints praying for sinners. Isn't that how it's always been? It's not sinners praying to saints. It's the saints who are in Christ praying that sinners will hear the gospel. And notice again what Paul says as we close in verse 19. Pray for me that utterance may be given unto me. This is a deep subject, perhaps. It's perhaps hard to explain. Pastor Wendell and some other preachers may understand this. That utterance may be given unto me. Just because it's time to preach, just because you have a text, and just because you have a moment to preach, doesn't mean that you have utterance to preach. This word utterance speaks of the freedom of the Spirit. It speaks of the opening of hearts. It's not enough simply to have a church and a sermon. You must have the utterance that comes from God, the leading, the freedom, we sometimes say, to preach out the Word of God. And I would encourage you, as you pray for me or for the preachers that come, God, give them utterance. Let them have freedom. Sometimes I pray for guest speakers who are here for the first time, and I say, Lord, let them feel like they're talking to their family. Let them have complete freedom in our church to say from the Word what we need to hear. We need God's power. We need power to fight the enemy. We need to see people saved. We cannot save them, but greater is He that is in us than he that is in the world. The Spirit of God will lead us in prayer. He will guide us in prayer, and He will touch hearts as we pray. And he will give utterance as we pray. And that's why Paul says this. Pray for me that utterance may be given unto me. Notice this. That I may open my mouth boldly. Now, I know some people that don't need prayer to open their mouth boldly. I know some people that are very good at opening their mouth, very good at opening up on Facebook. And the Bible says, a fool uttereth all his mind. I don't want to just stand up here and speak loudly. You understand what I'm saying? Paul wasn't saying so that I can just stand up here and just be mean. No, no. Did you know that the gospel ministry makes no sense without the Holy Spirit and without prayer? How many of you know what my full-time job is? My full-time job is to stand up on a regular basis and tell people that they are sinners. Welcome to Lancaster Baptist Church. You are depraved. You were born that way. You can try all you want with your rags of righteousness, but they're still filthy to God. And you are now doomed to hell without the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. That's my job. How many of you understand that if the Lord doesn't get in the middle of that presentation and give me utterance, it's going to fall on deaf ears? How many of you know it's a miracle when someone says, I am a sinner. That man up there is right. I'm a sinner. And he's right. All this other religion is hocus pocus. And Jesus is the way. That's the truth. How many of you understand the miracle of the moment when somebody gets saved, and it doesn't happen unless the Holy Spirit gives utterance and unless the Holy Spirit touches a heart? And that's why we're going to spend time in prayer tonight, because without God getting in the middle of it, you can have a show. And there's lots of young preachers and churches. Boy, they're trying to work up some emotion with all kinds of lighting and sound and effects. But I got to tell you something. I'm not interested in working it up. I want heaven to bring it down. And that doesn't happen without earnestly seeking God. And I just want to encourage you tonight. We're going to go to the Lord in prayer. And I'm not timing your prayer tonight. But if you pray with all prayer, if you give thanks, if you give adoration, if you pray for the saints, if you pray for the sinners, it'll take a moment or two. But it will be one of the best investments of your time this week. And so I just want to challenge you tonight, pray with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit tonight that God will do a mighty work.